We'll begin this morning our lesson by reading the account of one of the most remarkable demonstrations of faith in all of history. It is the account of the faith of Abraham when he, in obedience to God's instruction, set out to sacrifice his son Isaac. God honored Abraham's faith, and Abraham expressed his appreciation for God's faithfulness by giving God a name, calling God by a name that responded to what God did for him. And so let's go to Genesis 22. The next name in this series of lessons on the names of God that we find here in this account is Jehovah Jireh. That is, God sees and God provides. And so let's read this account in Genesis 22, beginning at verse 1. We'll read through verse 14. Genesis 22, 1 through 14. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. He said, Here am I, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Try to picture this scene if you can. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here am I. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. The passage continues on, and you can read later if you would like. And God renews his promises to Abraham of multiplied descendants that will defeat all of their enemies, and that through Abraham and his descendants, specifically one descendant, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. So God renews that promise that he had already made to Abraham at that time. And of course, that being the blessing to all the nations is a reference to the salvation that would be brought through Jesus Christ, a descendant of Abraham. The name Jehovah Jireh, it literally means God sees. And the implication is that because he sees, he will provide. And so this is the truth that we want to consider and understand how that applies to us. Here we have the example of Abraham's faith, extreme faith, and we are called upon to live by faith too. And if we're going to do that, we need to have a personal revelation, a personal understanding that my God is the God who sees and provides. In this passage, of course, we have a foreshadowing of God the Father offering up his son for the sins of the world. There's a clear type here, obviously. And then as Isaac comes off of that altar of sacrifice, it's a picture of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact, it's to me, it's always astounding that at this time, Isaac is a strapping young man. He's still pretty young, but at this point, he's a young teenager. and is probably pretty well developed at this time. Remember, Abraham is an old man. And yet, in all of that account, we don't read that Isaac resisted him whatsoever. A clear picture of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, willingly laying down his life for us. So many lessons there that are important for us, many types and shadows that we can learn from. But in our lesson today, I want us to focus on the personal faith of Abraham so we can learn what it means to live by faith. To me, one of the saddest circumstances within Christendom today is the distortion of what it means to live by faith. It's not only bad doctrine, it's blasphemy. What is being taught is faith today. In Abraham's testing here, we see what genuine faith is. In Matthew 6 and verses 7 and 8, I've got a lot of scriptures here, so I'm just going to have to give you some of the references so we can keep things moving. But what it means to live by faith, we need to know, as Matthew 6 tells us, verses 7 and 8, that our Father knows what we need before we ask. He already knows. Remember, He is the God of knowledge, as we had in a previous lesson. Rest assured that your Heavenly Father sees what you need. And because He sees it, you can also have the assurance that He has already made a provision for it, for you to have His best in this life and in eternity. All of His promises of grace, you can rest assured that He sees what you need in order for you to receive those promised blessings. Just like He had promised Abraham some blessings, He's promised us many things. Great and precious promises we have been given in this age of grace. Faith to many Christians today, sadly, means having the boldness to demand of God anything and everything you want and then expecting God to answer exactly how you prayed. That's what's being presented as faith today. And our demands can be anything we want. Riches, health, never be sick. And God has to answer because I have faith. That's not what we see in this example. That's not the kind of faith that we see. That kind of concept that's being preached today about faith, it leads to selfishness and carnality. It leads to the fulfillment of the lust of the flesh. It doesn't lead to the glory of God, and it doesn't lead us to the fullness of God's blessing. So what is faith? If that's not faith, what's being preached today, what is faith? Notice in this passage, who's doing the demanding here? Is Abraham demanding anything of God in this passage? God is the one doing the demanding. Sacrifice your son. That's quite a demand. God is the one that's demanding, not Abraham. And yet the end result of God demanding of Abraham and Abraham obeying by faith, what's the result? Abraham receives blessing, abundant blessing. That's true faith. Us, by faith, believing God's ways are best, that He knows what He's doing, that He knows what He's talking about. When He allows things in our life, He's in charge of our life. He's our loving Father. We believe He's still going to do what He said He would do. That's faith. We read there in verse 1 of Genesis 22 that God tested Abraham. God was putting Abraham's faith to the test. He wanted to prove to Abraham and to us that Abraham's faith was genuine. He put it to the fire. That's how you purify gold. That's how you test to see if something's going to stand up, if it's real. You put it to the fire. Abraham's faith was put to the fire, and it was proven to be real and genuine. God's going to do the same with your faith. There's so many lessons we can learn from this account of Abraham's faith. God will test your faith. Anyone can say, I have faith, but is it genuine? Is it the faith that God requires of us? Does it result in God's approval of us and the fullness of His blessing? That's the real question we need to ask ourselves. And that kind of test, the evidence of that kind of faith can only be experienced through trials. I know this isn't popular, and you know, if I was going to vote, I would, in my carnal state, I would vote that whatever I say with my mouth, I have. Now, I say that because I know my flesh, but knowing the Word of God and knowing my human flesh from the light of the Word of God, I'm glad God doesn't do that for me. Man, would I get myself in trouble, and so would you. I'm glad that that's not the kind of faith I'm called to live by. I'm glad that God's in control of directing things. because he knows the end from the beginning. I don't. I have to trust him. And so the trials gives me that opportunity to let me know, is my faith genuine? Am I just talking a good talk? So others can see when I talk about faith and trusting God, that they can see that it's real and not just talk, that maybe they might have an opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ as well. James 1, let's do turn there. James 1, 2 to 4. One of those passages of scripture that's probably familiar to us, but one that we'd probably just like to skip over. But this is what true faith is. James 1, 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Does it really mean that? It's God's word. It's a command of grace. Count it all joy. How can you do that if you know some things? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Abraham had patience with that trial. To me, it's astounding. He doesn't even hesitate when God says, sacrifice your son. Now, those that have been in the Wednesday night Bible study, in our study of Genesis, we're coming up on some of these events. And we've already considered how Abram had to learn how to live by faith. His faith wasn't always mature, but here we see it at its pinnacle. This is mature, sound, tested faith. He doesn't hesitate when God tells him to do what he told him to do. He just does it. He gets up early to do it. He had patience waiting on God to show him, what is this all about? Didn't make sense, but he trusted God. Faith shines its brightest in the darkest of trials. You need to remember that when you're being overwhelmed, and many of you have and are going through such dark trials. But remember, that's when your faith can shine the brightest. Many today boast of their faith by pointing to their prosperity, their bank account, and their power. I've got faith. See what I have? But God points to the trials of his people who respond in obedience to him. And God says, that's faith. He points to Abraham. That's faith. We have the example of the faith of Job. God was the one that pointed to Job and said, Satan, hey, have you seen this one? He drew his attention to him. He put a target on him. He said, what do you think of him? Satan said, you let me touch him. Let me take away all those blessings you gave him. And God had blessed Job. He had money. He had family. He had everything the world wants. And God allowed Satan to take it all away. All of it. And Job did not sin with his mouth. He didn't understand it, but he believed God, that he knew what he was doing. God tested him. Job came through his trials as pure gold. And through all those trials, not once did Job stop worshiping God, speaking of God as the one who is just and right. Do you do the same thing when you're going through things and it seems like God's taking things away from you instead of blessing you? Abraham's faith said to his young servants that he took with him, you stay here, Isaac and I are going up, but we will return. That was a statement of faith because he knew God had a plan. He didn't know what it was, but he knew God saw the need and would provide. God will provide for himself a lamb. He did that for me. He did that for you, didn't he? We should have been the Isaac on the altar. But God said, no, take the lamb in his place. God did that for me. He did that for you. When Abraham obeyed, and then God provided the substitute, God says, now I've seen that you fear me. Now God knew it. God knew Abraham's heart, knew what he would do. But the point is, now it's evident to all that you fear me because you didn't hold anything back from me. Do you see once again how this is opposite of what's being taught of faith today? Faith today is being taught as God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Do, 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 do. But real faith is giving to God. Abraham, all of his desires and hopes were placed in Isaac, and he gave Isaac to God. Faith is about us giving ourselves to God. Not demanding anything of him, but trusting him to fulfill his promises of grace. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. You know that? Everybody who talks about faith for this and faith for that, when God hasn't promised those things. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit can speak to you specifically about things, can be healing or a specific situation where the Holy Spirit confirms to you that God's going to act in a certain way. And you can say, I have faith for that. But just generally speaking, as so many do, I've got faith for healing, or I've got faith for this, or I've got faith for that. God's going to do it this way. That's not faith. Faith comes by hearing what God has said in His Word. That's where you start. Before you can hear the voice of the Spirit for specific things, you need to recognize the voice through the Word of God. That's where faith. God told Abraham what to do and where to go specifically, and he obeyed. Faith comes by hearing. But what a command. Sacrifice your son, your only son, whom you love. God knew he loved him. Abraham had waited 25 years just to receive the miracle boy Isaac. And now God says, kill him. All of Abraham's hopes for the future were bound up in Isaac. And God had promised through Isaac, these blessings are going to come to you and your family, your descendants. God had said that specifically. Isaac is the one through whom you're going to be a blessing to all the nations. So Abraham's heard from God. He knows what God's will is. Isaac's God's promised son. Sacrifice Isaac. Seems to be contradictory, doesn't it? Abraham believed the word of God. And this is why we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. This is why we read why Abraham did what he did. Why he was willing to go through the process of sacrificing his son. Because in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, it says, by faith. Now remember what his faith is based in. God said in Isaac, your seed is going to be blessed and sacrifice your son. Two things he knew were spoken by God. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. In Abraham's mind, he was already dead, because that's what he was going to do. But he got up off of that altar of sacrifice, didn't he? He rose from the dead. But Abraham was willing to believe that God had power to raise up Isaac. If that's what God wanted him to do, he would have to raise Isaac from the dead. He knew God had a plan. He didn't know all the details, but he trusted God. That's faith. Look at your situation. Look at your life. Look at the circumstances that you can't understand. You can't explain. You question God. Why? Stop and know who your Father is. Jehovah Jireh. He sees what you need and he will provide. That's faith, saints. That's what I want to be characterized by. And the only way that can happen is a full, utter dependence on the grace of God. Because it's not in me. I like to have things lined up and figured out. I like to see the end. All right, this is what we're going to do to get there. God doesn't work that way with me. He says, I'll take care of it. I'll see it. I've already seen it from past eternity. And I've already had the provision. Trust me. We've been given so many promises in this life, haven't we? Romans 8:28, anybody know it? Do you believe it? Do you act like it? Do you talk like it? And we know, because he told us, that all things work together for our good. We know it. He said it. That's a promise. But what about this? Trust your Father, Jehovah Jireh. 2 Corinthians 4:16, you know, it's one of my favorites. You don't have to turn there, but these things are working for us, not against us. How can that be? It hurts so much. How can it be when God takes things away from me? How can that be good? How can that be for my good? It's a promise. It's working for you, not against you. But you have to do something. You have to, by faith, look at the eternal promises that God has promised you. That these things aren't worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. And can you do that in your trial? That's faith. That's what it means. Romans 8, 31 to 39, we know nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's a promise of His grace. Nothing can separate you. Well, what about cancer? Oh, it leads to such death and suffering to the end, and it cannot separate you from the love of God, even if it does end in death. For the child of God, it leads to being in the eternal presence of God. Now that's a healing I'm looking forward to put off this corruptible body, to put on incorruption. That's my faith, because God said it was mine, because of His grace, because of His provision. If we believe these promises, we won't need to demand God why. Abraham didn't even ask a question. Isaac didn't even ask a question. Take that back. He said, well, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the lamb? But when Abraham told him, God will provide. We don't see Isaac arguing or debating. And I don't know whether there was any struggle or not. We're not given those details, but I think specifically we're not given those details, so we see the type in the shadow. But I do believe that Isaac just rendered to his father's will. Neither one of them demanded anything. They simply said, Abraham said, here am I. When you're in your deepest trial, saints, can you just say, Lord, here am I. I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed. I don't understand it. But here am I. I'm in your hands. And I don't want to be anywhere else. I know you see, and I know you will provide. That leads to obedience. True faith leads to obedience always. Jesus said, blessed are those who hear my word and do it. Faith leads to obedience. Doing what God's asked you to do. Abraham went to the mountain. Abraham prepared to sacrifice. He did everything God asked him to do, even when it was something that would apparently destroy everything that he was working for. Can you do the same? Can I? God will provide himself a lamb. Let's close this morning with 1 Peter 5. God's made you some promises, saints. He's made me some promises. When it appears that our circumstance says God's not going to be able to do what he said. In fact, when it appears like God isn't even listening. When it appears that maybe there's not even a God. When that's your circumstance and your situation. When God seems to be taking things away from you instead of giving things to you. Can you have faith in Jehovah Jireh? 1 Peter 5, 6-11. This is the only way that we can. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He sees your need. He sees your pain. He sees your hurt. He sees your suffering. He cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Think about that for a minute. In that situation where Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac, what do you think Satan would have preferred to happen there? You say, oh, he would have killed Isaac. No, he wouldn't have. He would have preferred that Isaac never been strapped to that altar, because it would have been disbelief on Abraham's part. And that's what Satan wants. We have an adversary. We need to know that what his intent is to keep us from trusting God. Resist him, verse 9 says. How do you do that? By being steadfast in the faith. Keep believing God. Keep doing what he's asked you to do. Even when things don't appear to be right, keep doing what he's asked you to do. Read the word of God. Let it govern your life and your every relationship. Continue to gather together to encourage one another and to worship the Lord together. Continue to do all the things that he said to do. Continue telling people that are seeing you in your trial and your suffering, continue to let them see you praise and worship God and you trust the Lord Jesus Christ with your life. Let them see that. Let them hear that. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. It's another thing to remember. Often we feel we're the only ones suffering. God's people are suffering all around the world, and many of them far worse than we are. But may the God of what? All grace, who sees and provides, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. That's not being taught today about faith. Oh, you don't have to suffer. You never have to suffer anything, because if you have faith, you can speak it into existence. That's not what the Bible teaches. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank God we serve Jehovah Jireh.